Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined today by Alex, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Great. How's it going?
Great. Great to have you on the air.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Tell us what's new with the Voices.
So the Voices are a cartoon series. And I usually just jump in with a whole bunch about what's going on with them without saying any kind of context about what they're what it is.
Uh-huh.
So the Voices are a cartoon that's primarily available on our website as a blog, and it is also available to folks who would like to subscribe to receive the cartoon in the inbox. And so far, I have been pretty successful at getting them out on Mondays. I've never actually said that they're going to come out on Mondays, but they have been, and have been for now 2 years. And that's what I think you wanted to talk to me about was they've been going on for 2 years now.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long.
I know. Well, it, you know, from my perspective, it feels like I've been doing it my entire life, but but at the same time, it's like it seems so short and it seems so long.
Yes, yes. Yes.
It's probably that middle way.
Yes, yes, yes. I know for me, I look forward to getting it each week, and I know I'm always going to probably have a chuckle and get a real dose of practice support.
Oh, that's really good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm so happy that that it's part of the many things that Living Compassion offers as practice support for people, and that it could be a regular, consistent thing, kind of like, you know, the peace quotes that we offer. Sherry does Practice Everywhere, which are, you know, tweets that come in on people's phones or computers with messages that remind us to come back to here. And I'm hoping that the cartoons do the same thing to people as a way to assist them.
Yes, yes. And I'm thinking as you're talking, I remember a series of them, I think it was several months ago, about, I can't remember the characters' names, but it was looking at kind of that place of what am I going to choose?
I think
it was maybe committing to a sitting practice or something like that.
Yeah.
And all
seems
of the
like
things.
You've been committing to a sitting practice for a very long time.
Yes, yes. And all of the things that come up on both sides of that duality, you know, when we're stuck in that duality.
Exactly, yeah. All the voices that come in that either, well, you know, from the way I look at it, it's like, well, from my experience too, it's that, you know, we set out to do something and we set out to do it, and then no sooner do we set out to do it than the voices jump in to encourage us for a while, discourage us, anything to create a little drama in our lives. And that's certainly what was going on for the character in the cartoons for sure.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's really fascinating talking to you, because as I'm talking to you, I'm remembering flashes of the cartoons that come through and all of the messages that are in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'm really excited now because I've noticed that they've the character that you're talking about, I think Lou, who'd been the star for a while, has segued into a new series of practice-related cartoons, and I'm just so excited about it. It's like his transformation into Awareness Junkie Man has open the way to a whole lot of different possibilities that were not available before he made that transformation.
Yes, and that's true for all of us, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah. We go through this period. It's funny that you just said that, because as you said that, it made me think of, there we are, we're going along, we know, sometimes we don't even know that practice exists, and so we're just slogging along, believing the voices, believing that they're us, and all the while, you know, suffering the whole time with that. And then finding, stumbling upon practice, knowing that it can work, going about doing it, and just doing the best that we can, showing up. And sometimes the voices talk us out of it, and sometimes we're victorious. And I think that it's just a matter of sticking with it. Practice, practice, practice seems to be the theme of the latest cartoons, and it's just all the things that will arise as we attempt to do that.
Yes, yes, yes. And as you're talking, it reminds me of something that the guide said, and paraphrasing here, but it's along the lines of, okay, now I know that this exists, and now I know it's possible, and now it's a matter of doing that.
Yeah, it's hunkering down and doing it, rolling up our sleeves, getting on with it, and that's where I think that the cartoons have gotten now. It's like, practice exists, okay, great, now I need all the support I can get, and the character is now talking about all the different ways that we can support ourselves as we go about choosing what we want for our lives. And that is such a different place than surviving the onslaught of the voices.
Yes, yes, indeed. One of the many things I love about it is that the message is so consistent from practice. So whether I'm listening to Sherry talk to somebody on open air or reading the tweets or reading the voices, the message is so consistent.
Yes. Yep. That there are two places where my attention can go. It can either be here with compassion and kindness and all that I truly am, and I'm not separate from anything, or I can go to separation in which I suffer and believe that there's something wrong and not enough. Life with the voices.
Yes.
That's
yes.
why the latest series are now, it just flip-flops back and forth between Voice Busters and the Voices, because the Voice Busters is the group of folk who are working with practicing not believing the voices.
Right, right, right. Yes. And Alex, if I wanted to get a fun T-shirt to show my support for the voices, how might I go about doing that?
You can still do that, even though the deadline, if you go to Sangha Market, and that's SANGHAMarket.com for all you squares out there, you can go to SanghaMarket.com right now, and you can go to the Stores tab, that's at the top, and you'll find the Voices there. The Voices store, and then there are four different styles of shirts. There's women's and men's shirts, but there are long and short sleeve for both. And even though the deadline says that it's July 15th, we will accept anyone who would like to donate the cost of the shirt plus shipping, and we will get that out to you.
Great. And I was not aware of when the deadline was. So if people want to do that, they should probably hop on it straight away.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's okay. You know, I haven't placed the order for the shirts yet. The shirts will be ordered sometime next week. So there is still some time.
Great. Great.
Yeah. I'm very excited about it. It was a way for me to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of the Voices, and I wanted it to be something special for folks, that if anybody who really enjoys them would like to wear them and carry them around and remind themselves that about practice, it's just another way to practice.
Yes, yes, and I don't want to give it away, but it's a very funny cartoon on the T-shirt and on the back as well.
Good. Yep.
Alex, do you want to share anything about the creative process and how these ideas come to you or appear to you?
That's interesting. Well, I for a while I've been taking a walk on the monastery property, and it's funny. I do this walk every morning, and I get to this particular point, and I talked about this in group before, but I get to a particular point, and all of a sudden an idea will come, and it's usually just the kernel of it at one point, and then I get to another part in the path, and then the whole thing kind of drops in. It's really fascinating how it does that. And lately, I haven't been having any idea come up until right when I'm about to do it. So it's literally making itself. So I'm as excited to see what's going to happen with it as I don't know if anybody else is, but if anybody else is, I share that excitement too, because I get to this point where I'm actually doing it, you know, making it, and it will change itself completely before it's over, and I'm often shocked and surprised by where it's gone myself. So,
wow,
it's fascinating. And they have been a great teacher for me, actually. They seem to be teaching me exactly what it is that I need to know as it's happening, and so I am deeply, deeply grateful that they have shown up in my life in the way that they have. And I will continue to keep doing them simply because I love them, and it makes me happy that other people are receiving from them as well. So.
Yes, yes, I'm deeply grateful as well that you put in the time and the energy and the willingness.
Oh.
And it seems like the way you describe it, and I love the way you described it, it's as if you are receiving them.
Yeah, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am totally receiving them, and it's I just can't say enough thank yous to the practice and everything that has directed me here.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful. Alex, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Michael, thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay.
And
take
have a
care.
Great show.
We will.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. Practice is fun, isn't it?
Practice is fun.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. And it occurred to me today that I'm really so grateful to have an opportunity at least once each week where I really have to be here and show up and pay attention.
It's good, isn't it?
It is good.
It's such a, you know, I think it's true that I have one more topic in this list of things that I put out in a practice blog a while back, the keeping your commitment to yourself. I don't think I ever addressed that topic. And just when you say that, it makes me want to, because it's so important. It's so important to make commitments for our practice and then to keep those commitments. It's how we prove to ourselves that we are a trustworthy steward for an incarnation.
Yes, yes, yes. It's really great. It's something about that commitment. It feels like it brings a sense of responsibility and participation, and that it's not that, it's hard to put into words, but that it's really important for me to show up and for me to do the best I can.
Yeah, and it's a funny way to think of this, perhaps, but it is a version of you will do for the love of others what you would never be willing to do for yourself. So,
absolutely.
You know, as a parent, we show up for our children, whether we really feel like it or want to, or, you know, that's just not an issue once we have somebody who's really depending on us. We just do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And once we realize who we are relative to this human being that egocentric karmic conditioning would like to believe is something we own, or more specifically that it owns, once we realize that that there is the possibility from loving kindness and compassion of assisting a human being to wake up and end suffering, then it's that same sort of I will do for the love of that human what I was never willing to do when I was in that ego position of owning that human.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Beautifully stated. Sherry, I have some events here that you will be participating in.
Good. What are they? I'll get them on my calendar.
Put them on your calendar. You'll be in New York on October 16th at the Integral Yoga Institute.
Yeah.
I recognize that. Seems like you've been there before.
I have. It's just one of my favorite places in the world. They're just an amazingly kind and loving and awake group of people.
Oh, great. And then you'll be in Chester, Connecticut at the Guest House from October 16th to 20th.
Hmm. And everyone is invited.
Great. It sounds like a beautiful place. I read the email that came through a couple days ago.
And at the perfect time of year.
Yes. Oof. Yes, 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 yes. I'm sure it'll be beautiful. And coming up very soon, you'll be at Mount Madonna in California, in Watsonville.
A number of days from now.
Yeah, what is that, 10 days from now or so? And all of these are available on the Living Compassion website at livingcompassion.org.
Yes. We have ways to practice, should we choose to.
Yes, yes. Many wonderful ways of support that have been offered to us by practice and keep continuing to be offered.
Which was a point that Alex really made so beautifully, that, well, and that you made with the radio show. You know, we find something that we love to do, that we're going to show up for, and then we show up for it, and we watch ourselves be transformed in that process. So, of course, the more things we participate in, the greater, the faster, actually, the transformation or the potential for that. So, which is why I sign up for all of these things.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful. And as usual, Sherry, there are many wonderful people here who would like to talk with you. Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Anna.
Anna!
Hi.
Hi.
A voice from out of my past. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's really, really great to be on the show.
Yes. I mean, maybe you've talked to other folks, but
I have,
like,
yes.
I haven't talked to you for ages.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember when it was, actually.
Yeah, what have you been up to?
It might have been Easter. Right, okay, I'm ringing in to carry on the discussion. I phoned in a couple of weeks ago and spoke to Dave about an issue, and I wanted to tell you how I'd been getting on with that. So I'll just very briefly say what it was, and I'll briefly say what I've been doing.
So
when I phoned Dave, I wanted to talk to him about some of my sub-personalities that project or perceive that my husband gets angry, and they get upset when he gets angry.
Uh-huh.
This has been happening for a very long time, and it's a very big thing for me, and I'm obviously feeling that now I can begin to look at it. So what I've been doing then is, I know from past radio shows that you've spoken about something called Imago therapy. So I looked that up, and there isn't anybody near to where I live, but nevertheless, I looked on the website and on the Imago website, and it says that there was a book, so I read this book. So I've been reading this book, and in conjunction with your book, Be the Person You Want to Find, and I've been looking at sub-personalities, using my non-dominant hand, and I've been using Making a Change for Good. I did that from the first as a way of looking at it as well. So I think that I have seen lots of things that I couldn't see just a few weeks ago when I spoke to Dave. And so one of the things was looking at anger, because I appear to, because when you've spoken before about projection, you've asked people if it's something that they suppress or that they do, and people would describe me as not an angry person at all. But when I looked at it, I was a very, very angry child and teenager, and did completely suppress it and didn't let it out. And I can remember that now. I can feel the seething, boiling anger. So that's good that I've seen that. So I can see that probably I do get angry now, but I don't express it. So I don't know. We seem to have maybe fallen into maybe I'm the goodie and that he's the baddie. He's the one that gets angry and I'm not. So that's about as far as I've got so far.
And,
does that make sense?
Yeah. That's great. And so where that's as far as you've gotten. And when you look around here where you are now, what's the view? What do you see from this vantage point?
Right, okay. The view is, I think when I was looking for the underlying thing about why I used to get angry when I was young, and I think that underneath it all, I think what I wanted and what I wasn't getting, and that I'm probably still doing now, is a feeling of safety. So say when my husband gets angry now, I'm thinking, am I going back to that childhood feeling of, oh, this isn't safe for me? And so I'm seeing that probably I'm wholly identifying with a very young, scared child, and that I am forgetting to breathe and be present. So what the view is now is supporting myself in being as present as I can and seeing what that feels like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. In that process, being disidentified enough to let her be there and have the experience that she's having, and also for you to be there to make a safe place for her to be as she is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And so that's one side of it. So there's your husband, and does he blame you for his anger? How does his anger express itself?
Okay. I see him as being angry. He's tense quite a lot of the time. I generally will play safe, so it's very often not directed at me. If I do do or say something that I know will cause him some bother, then he would maybe get angry at me, only verbally. He can be quite critical of other people. He's very, very critical of other people. It seems to be linked in with it, and that's something that my subpersonalities find quite hard. I have spoken to him in the past, but it's really hard because he gets really, really defensive, and he will say something like, "Oh, I'm such a bad person, aren't I?" And then he won't talk to me for a couple of days, and it's as though what's actually happening is that he really does think he's a bad person, and that I'm saying you're a bad person, and then he can't talk to me because he feels so bad. So I've not said anything for ages to him for a few years, because the whole thing is it's just so difficult.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever approached his anger as a projection exercise? And now we could go in a lot of directions with that, but
yeah.
I'm specifically what he's critical about with other people, he's critical about, he's being beaten up for.
Yeah, I have. That's one of the things that has just saved me over the last couple of years, because I read that, you know, in your books, a while ago, and I've taken that on. I haven't done anything beyond that.
Okay, but when you think about it in that way, you can have some sympathy for him.
Yeah.
Perhaps not
take
it so personally.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the key thing. It's really finding the sympathy rather than just noticing it. I think it's taking it one stage further.
So that's great. That's that's him.
That's good. Yeah.
Now with
good.
You, what about that response in you that's been suppressed all this time?
Yeah. Well, that's what I that's been my theme for making a change for good. Excuse me. For making a change for good. So I've been attempting to, at least see where I haven't been expressing myself, and even if I can't express myself more, at least seeing where I didn't. And it's been really great. You know, I have been seeing it with all sorts of people, just where I might not. For example, we had a plumber round because he had a gas leak, and I could see that I felt a little bit intimidated and that I wasn't quite saying probably what I would have really wanted to say. And I actually even did it. I managed to push a bit further and ask more questions. And I think it is along the lines of, oh, if I ask too many questions, he's not going to think I'm a nice feminine woman, and I'm a bit pushy, and is not going to like me. So again, linking, I can see the link back to childhood. So that's what I've been doing, sort of just slowly, taking it really slowly, because I can see that I don't want to push it, because I can see that,
you don't want to just toss everybody into a place of unsafety. Right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just taking it really slow. Now, I don't know what's going on with your throat. Do you have any idea what's going on? Is this
I've got some water. Let me just have a drink.
I was just curious if that's a normal thing that happens with you.
I do suffer from lots of sore throats.
Yeah, because what I was reminded of is that, of course, the throat is the fifth chakra.
Yeah.
So we're talking about these things that are kind of threatening to the identity.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and so having it show up that way in your throat would be a natural sort of a response.
Yeah.
To the identity being revealed in that way.
Yeah, yeah, because this has only just come on talking to you now, and obviously I've not. Why I rang Dave a couple of weeks ago was because I felt that something had to happen, that I couldn't carry on anymore. And sometimes it's a bit tricky phoning in because we live in a really small house and I don't want to wake my husband up particularly. And he's home tonight and I'm like a bit nervous and things, so I can feel my throat. Excuse me.
Just kind of closing down.
Yeah. But one, talking about expressing myself, and because I'm very lucky, I've got Poppy, talk to Poppy a lot, and she's in on it with me as well. And I was like thinking, I decided I work as often. If my husband is home, he has to get up very early, I won't ring because I don't want to ring him. And so today I was saying, I'm ringing because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking after myself by doing that. And if he wakes up, it's just really tough. This is really important. So that's good.
Yeah. So what you're developing is a relationship with those young parts of yourself, such that if he gets upset, if somebody gets upset, they can do whatever they're doing, say whatever they're saying, and inside you are just comforting and reassuring the parts who are afraid and threatened.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. So, what I'm building up to is talking to my husband about it. And I will ring in. And report.
Yeah, so my encouragement, of course, is for you to stick with this for you for a while.
Because
there are always those parts of us who would push us into something premature because the outcome is likely to be disastrous.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I think that's why I've sort of been deliberately sort of going slowly with it, because I'm not clear yet. I can see that I'm not clear.
Yes.
And it's always ended in disaster before, and so it probably will again until I've got some more clarity.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm in a different place from when I rang, you know, just a few weeks ago.
Yes. So it's really solidifying your relationship with that centered mentor part of yourself, just to to be sure that everybody is going to be safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, I'll continue.
All right, and it's great to hear your voice. So.
Yeah, and it's really great to hear yours too.
All right, so we'll talk soon then.
Definitely.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Thanks very much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Always great to hear from old friends, Sherry.
Yes. Yeah, see, there I go away and I miss so much.
Yeah.
Of course, Dave gets to have the fun, so I can't, and people get to have the pleasure of his company, so I can't regret it. But
yes.
Glad indeed. People keep calling in until I get to talk to them.
Great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Right.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Caller, you're live on the air. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Good to hear yours. What are you up to?
Oh, well, I'm kind of just calling with an update about how things are going since I was there for a month.
Uh-huh.
And it was really neat to hear Alex at the beginning because I just got back from a trip and I got that the Voices cartoon on my inbox and just realized how many things I've been practicing besides awareness on a long trip with relatives and children, and stuff like that. So, the biggest thing that I'm looking at right now is something that conditioning is getting me with. It's new, and it's I guess I would call it panic attacks. If I had to call it something, it's this feeling of that my lungs are being squished and I can't breathe. And there's something very, very, the message is something very, very wrong, and I need to make a different choice or a different, I need to go in a different direction. And it's very urgent. I don't know. It just seems it's very new.
Uh-huh. So, can I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
So, when did this start relative to your trip, relative to your relatives?
I really noticed it on the trip, on this past couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
I think that it's been around before, but not at that level.
Uh-huh.
It's just a, I don't know, it just, I'm being squeezed on the inside. And
on the inside?
Yeah, it's just like there's a big, somebody's got their big hand around my lungs and just squishing me. And I'm having a hard time breathing, and I just feel like I need to get out of my skin and run away.
Uh-huh.
Because what I'm doing, whatever the choice, it usually seems to happen around, okay, well, I've made this choice to do this thing. And then I go in that direction, and then there's this panic that somehow that's the wrong direction to go in.
And the feeling really is one of panic.
Mm-hmm.
And is the panic what it feels like to be squished like that, or is the panic a reaction to not being able to breathe?
I think the panic is the story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm panicking because I can't breathe. I don't feel like I'm panicking for any other reason except that the story at that moment feels so real and connected to the physical sensation that I'm tempted to believe that it's real and make a different choice because I'm having that physical sensation and it's telling me to make a different choice.
Okay, so when you feel like that, the interpretation is, or the message that you get is, you need to stop doing what you're doing and do something different.
Yes.
Okay. And does this usually happen? Does it happen when other people are around?
Yes.
Okay. So have you ever tried I had three panic attacks in my history, just enough to know what a complete misery they are. And what I would do when I had one is to lie down on the floor and stretch out because it is that feeling of I have got to get out of my skin.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to run away from oneself. And so I would lie there stretching my, you know, kind of making a like an X with my arms and legs from my spine, and just lie there and breathe, trying to let myself sink into the floor as the sensations just, made their wild path through the body.
Yeah.
Can you picture that?
Yes, I can. And that sounds great. Any suggestions for when I'm in a place where I cannot do that? This happened most often when I was in the car on this trip. And I, it was a situation where I was around other people. I couldn't get out. I couldn't lay down. And I tried, I tried very, I, it was, I always tried to come back to the breath, but it was so, this was so new and overwhelming that it just kind of, it felt bigger than the breath that I was able to bring to it.
Okay. Now, now you're home. Now the trip is over.
Yes, now I'm home.
So
right.
You have a little more flexibility with this.
Yes.
Here's my encouragement. Don't let that system, whatever it is that's going on with it, believe that you can't, that there's a circumstance in which you cannot take care of yourself.
Okay.
Because, at least in my experience. Well, you know, it's like the kids wait until you're out in public to ask for something or do something that they know is going to get big disapproval.
Hmm.
Your kids do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, that belief that my parents won't kill me out here in public, so I'm going to do this thing that I would never risk doing at home.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's the same, I suspect it's the same kind of process. So if you get very clear that wherever you are, whatever is going on, you're making a commitment that you are going to, as quickly as possible, get into a place where you can take care of yourself. I have a feeling it's going to have a profound effect on this whole business.
Okay.
Okay. And the taking care of yourself, of course, is the, you know, lie down and turn all of your attention to the sensations. No room at all for an interpretation of what's going on. So do you know that old story about the monk who was suddenly covered with snakes?
Yes, I do. I think I've heard you say that before.
Yeah. So the bottom line is pay really close attention to everything they're doing and don't tell anybody about it.
Okay.
Okay, the don't tell anybody about it is the don't get into a conversation in your mind.
Okay.
There's no feeding the process. So you just pay really close attention and don't indulge any conditioned thoughts or story.
Okay. Would it be helpful, like say I am in a situation, you know, where I can't lay down on the ground and put my arms and legs out, to like maybe in the car keep some paper and write down what is going on?
Is somebody else driving, I'm guessing, when this is going on?
Yeah, in that situation, yeah.
Then that's good. Then I actually, this is how crazy I am. I would ask them to pull over, and I would get out of the car and go to the nearest place and lie down.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and everybody can just kind of deal.
Okay. So taking care of myself is precedent over
anything.
Getting wherever we're getting.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to get.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, except free.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because writing it down could invite conditioned mind to the party.
And just continue the story.
Oh, well, this is this, and that feels like that, and, you know, and there, we really want to do the best we can not to engage at all on that level.
Okay. All right. I can do that.
Good. Very
yeah.
good. And then, of course, you will let me know.
I will. Good. I will. I'm sure this will come up again.
Yes. Or hopefully we get such a great plan in place that it never happens again.
Because it's just scared to come up again because I'm going to deal with it.
It really didn't work. And so it's just go try to come up with a new strategy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure it will come up with a new one because this is the new one over, you know, voices telling me something and I've been paying more attention to them and saying, okay, well, this is what I'm hearing. And I tell people out loud, well, this is what I'm hearing now. And so I guess this is the progression. And now it's just this, you know, this physical feeling.
They got
moved
tired.
On.
They got tired of you ratting them out. So now they're going to attack in a different way.
In a new way.
Yeah. You kind of have to admire them. They do persevere. However, what we can like about it is we get to watch all of their strategies be revealed and lose their power.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I find that if I just keep on going, you know, keep sitting, even if I miss one, go to the next one and keep just just my willingness to continue to show up for all the little things, you know, it's helping. It's kind of a cumulative effect.
Yes.
I mean, things aren't perfect, and it's not, you know, nothing's being completely fixed, but, you know, it's, I don't know, it seems to, it just seems to have an effect overall.
Oh, yes. And the thing that we can know is that it's going to run out of strategies. And you're not going to run out of willingness and conscious compassion and awareness. So, you know, that's why it's constantly upping the ante, because it's becoming more and more desperate. So our work is not to get desperate along with it.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Good. I can do all that, and I can call back.
Yes.
So, all right. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks,
good
Michael.
Good to talk with you. Bye-bye. All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think this is a great opportunity to stop, drop, and breathe.
Oh, I think so.
Yes, and we'll hear about Sangha Market, too.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris in San Francisco.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Doing great.
Good. What's going on?
Oh, it's just great to talk, you know, get on the air and hearing Alex was wonderful because he's sort of just such a great role model of how much fun practice can be. And I've found myself sitting around and just like drawing or working on subpersonalities and I'll remember how like lit up and how much fun Alex has, and I just want to say how, you know, appreciative I am of that.
Yeah, yeah.
His attitude.
Yeah, when because of course egocentric karmic conditioning really wants us to believe its projections about what awareness practice is like, and so we tend to believe those projections in spite of a lot of evidence. But then you run into Alex, and it's really hard to buy that you have to be miserable and grim and hate life if you're going to actually wake up and end suffering. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been noticing that I have this fear or just terror really of not knowing what I'm going to do next, not having a plan or a way to comfort myself in a not healthy way. And so, sitting is definitely helping, just sitting and being able to sit with these feelings. But it's just coming up, this trust, you know, it's like a building a relationship, I guess. I'm finally believing, mostly, that I'll know what to do when the time comes, and it's okay that I have no plans, you know, this weekend or this week or whatever. It doesn't mean anything, because
yeah.
It could mean a lot to, you know,
yeah.
to someone who gets abused. And so that's just what's coming up, which is nice.
Well, I put up a blog today that I think I must have written for you.
Oh, I'm good. I haven't read it yet.
So you can take a look at that, and you'll recognize this conversation in it, because yes, that's exactly what's going on. You're building a relationship with somebody who loves you unconditionally and is going to be there to support and care for you, to love you, and what's happening is that you are learning to have faith in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. And now that I've pretty much, as much as possible, stopped the beatings, it's sort of more intense in some ways to just be here, you know. It's just so different, I guess. It's a whole different way of being, and it's a relief for one.
Yes.
But it's sort of scary, too. There, you know, I guess it's ego that's freaked out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's ego that's freaked out. And it can freak us out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when it goes into its panic mode, it's scary to us. Scary to, especially to young aspects of ourselves who truly don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings up a question I had. Where recently I've been really been working on practice and working on subpersonalities, and some new ones are appearing, you know, real vivid memories or like of something that's sort of traumatic or, you know, things that happened in school or something. And then I just wondered how to like work with that new person, but like I cried and I talked to her and I was like just blown away that, you know, that was, she was still there and I was like just loving her. But then that was yesterday. And I was just thinking, is there suggestions to like work with them, or are you just, you keep reassuring them? And
yes. And again, if we go back to that building a relationship,
mm-hmm.
so not to let her come up and then just kind of get closed over, but to stay, you know, I always encourage people to focus on one thing at a time, because conditioning is so good at getting us to focus on way too many things at the same time, and we wind up focusing on nothing, and then it's back in charge again. So
mm-hmm.
decide that you're going to spend the next whatever period of time focused on her. And
okay.
So every day you make a date to do something, you know, you go for a walk or sit and write or draw or whatever it is, and until you feel like you really have a strong relationship with her. And part of that strong relationship is, how can she let you know when she's there and needs something?
Yeah.
You set up
okay.
that kind of system just as if she were a real little kid. You know, you don't, she doesn't want to be with you all the time, and you don't want to be with her all the time, but you need to have it set up so that when you need each other, you know how to send that signal.
Right, because I feel like this, I feel like I sort of identified a couple of subpersonalities that have been like going to work mostly and dealing with living in a big city, which I've been living here for quite over 10 years, and I still have all this anxiety and this and that, and so just like realizing, wait a minute, she was in charge of things that she, you know, she had no reason to be dealing with, is a huge relief. And So that'd be good just to work with her and to develop a relationship.
Yeah, and as that's happening, you are becoming more, you have more access to the comfort and wisdom and kindness that can be there to take care of her.
Mm-hmm. So it's also really that mentor, that needs to come out, yeah.
Yeah, so you will increasingly bring out the mentor in order to take care of her, and both of you are comforted.
Yeah. All right, that sounds good. And then in the same sort of way, I think, too, I just wanted to say what's really been helping me is is writing down and then recording the reassurances to different parts of myself, like whatever the main five that just keep coming up, you know, big thing, work and this and that. And it's like, okay, so I just record them all this little digital recorder, and I just really been meaning to do it for, you know, kept saying I was going to do it, but finally really did it the other day. And then when I wake up, sometimes I wake up just terrified, like in this subpersonality that's just freaked out about work and this and that. And I said, okay, I'm going to listen to my reassurances. And this voice was like, that's too easy. That'll never work. And it was just so, I loved it because I was like, okay, I got to do it. And it really, you know, and it's really helping. And it, so I'm just having so much fun and so much fascination with the whole awareness practice, because it's just amazing.
It is, isn't it? It is completely amazing. And I love it that the voice said that. You went ahead and did what it said wouldn't work and found out that it does.
Right.
There's just so much for us in that.
Yeah.
And in my experience and yours too, the more you do it, the more it works.
Yeah, I feel like it's sort of gaining momentum. Like even just last night, I have such a resistance to go to sitting group. And I decided, I'm going, you know. But it was back and forth all day. And finally, I flipped a coin and said, you know, this is what's going to happen, period. And I still, you know, all the voices were still just yammering, just awful torture. And I just went, and I just, you know, was there with all that fear and shaking and everything. And I do scary stuff otherwise, but for you know, ego really hates this practice, obviously.
Right. exactly. They're nothing alike, are they?
Yeah,
at all. You could go out and, you know, whatever you want to do that might be physically dangerous or that sort of thing. Ego's, go do it. You don't need a parachute. Go ahead. but if it's looking inward and taking care of yourself, oh, no, unacceptable behavior.
And what was so amazing is when I got there and I sat down in group, a voice just said, thank you so much for bringing me here. And it was just like, oh, my God, you know, I don't know. It was just a great awareness of all that the self-talk's just not
helpful.
Worth believing whatsoever. And not helpful,
Yeah, and that validation that there are folks in there who are desperate for you to take the time and be with them and take care of yourself and take this whole thing to the next level.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, and I'm putting it on my schedule, you know, to call you, and I did it, so that's great, and I'm going to put it on again.
Very good. Put it on again before anybody tries to talk you out of it.
That's right.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Good
bye-bye.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was inspiring, heartening.
Yeah. Practice is good.
Practice is good.
People are fabulous.
Yes, people are fabulous.
Conditioning is a misery and a drag, an unnecessary irritation, except it does tend to motivate us to go to places we would not go if life were much easier. So there is that.
Good to have a worthy opponent.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to give a plug also for the recording reminders, which I've been using, and they're just really wonderful.
Mm. This it's It's the secret weapon. It really is, or the secret ingredient, or however we want to talk about that with less violence. To just transport ourselves into, first of all, into the world we want to live in, and then over time we realize it's the world as it actually is.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yes. Wonderful. And we have another call here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Patty from Los Angeles.
Hey, Patty.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. This has been a really great, inspiring show. It's just so fascinating, and I love hearing about conditioning, getting desperate, and freaking out.
Instead of us being in that role, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to check in and thank you for the guidance that you gave me when I called in a couple of months ago. We talked about subpersonalities, and I was talking about this subpersonality that like wants to sew all the time.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. And your guidance was to sort of not necessarily let her just run the show and take up all of my time. And I, you know, it took me a little while for that to sink in, but it was right on, because I think that for a long time, what's been happening is that subpersonalities do sort of take over my life for sometimes really long periods of time.
Yes.
And I was really identified with her at that point, and I was on the brink of going there. And so your encouragement was really helpful, because I just, you know, took a step back and saw that this was one of those potential kind of turning points where, you know, I could have gone in that direction where, you know, where I just give everything, you know, I just kind of ignore all the other parts of myself.
Yes.
And just, you know,
follow that
primrose
path right over the edge of the brink.
Yeah, yeah, because I had, you know, I have a lot of other interests, and I had a lot of really, you know, kind of big goals that at that moment I was willing to just forget about all of those things.
Uh-huh. Right, because that aspect of the personality is not interested in those things, just does not care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not in a bad, evil way. But just, I want to sew. I don't care about these other things that you're interested in. And, it really is like having a bunch of small children. You know, we just simply cannot let one dominate all of the others and run the show. Why we have to
Yeah, and you know, when I spoke to you about that, and you gave me that guidance, there was a reaction that came up of like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And
I actually remember that. It wasn't completely popular.
Yeah, and it was because I was identified with her at that time.
Yeah. Which if you think about it, makes the fact that you called and that you were open to that guidance kind of a testament to your the level of your practice.
Because
that can be a place where somebody just goes, okay, bye. You know, you don't understand me. You don't know me. I don't trust you. I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that your guidance really resonated with me on some level because that was a trap that I had fallen into like many times before.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I could see there was a potential for that to happen again. So, So anyway, I've been working with a daily schedule, like ever since I visited the monastery and went on retreat last fall, and it's been kind of this evolving thing. You know, I revise it, you know, to when things seem to work better. And but so what was going on was, you know, there wasn't any room in the schedule for sewing originally. And so it was kind of the thing where, like, I would just do it if I had free time, and then often that wouldn't happen.
Yes.
So what I did was I made sure that she would get her time to sew, and really treat that with respect.
Yes.
Yes.
I hope everyone listening underlines that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really critical. That's a variation on that keeping our agreements to ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, you've
right.
got to honor that commitment, or nobody's going to trust you.
Yes. Yes, and I really do feel that trust.
Mm.
Because, you know, I mean, I'll be in my other, you know, I'll be in like my writer subpersonality in the beginning of the day, and she doesn't want to stop writing. You know, and then it becomes time to sew, and there is that moment where I'm just tempted to not do it.
Yes.
But then I remember that this is something that's really important, and I need to respect her and give her that time. And it's always the right thing to do. It always just feels really good.
Yes.
You know. And it just kind of, I mean, it just sort of occurred to me the other day that, you know, all conditioning makes it seem like practice is really complicated and hard and confusing.
Yes, and unpleasant.
And unpleasant, right? And then it just occurred to me the other day, you know, all I have to do is just show up.
Yes.
For each moment.
Yes.
And everything takes care of itself.
Yes. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but, like, at the monastery or when we're on retreat, the bell rings, you know, it's ringing constantly. And the symbolism behind that whole thing is it's preparing us for the moment of death. So the bell rings, and without a thought, you drop everything that you're doing and go to the next thing, which is what you are practicing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
it is huge. And the
yeah.
the hugest part of it is that you are becoming the person who is willing to be in that role of caring for, offering that loving kindness to people who have been suffering. You're
mm-hmm.
you're assuming that role when you watch the clock and it's time to shift, and you go to that place of, yep, I know that's how you feel, and there's somebody else who has a need, and we're going to turn our attention to that. I mean, that's the wide road to freedom.
Mhm. I really feel like I'm being cared for. You know?
Yes. Oh, yes. And that you are in good hands. You can actually
mm-hmm.
relax and trust life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a real feeling of relaxation in it,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like I'll be, I don't know, just, you know, doing something like, you know, unloading the dishwasher or something. And the conditioned kind of habit is to think, well, this isn't really that important, or it's, you know, I'd rather be doing something else more exciting. But when I just give myself to that activity, when I'm just, like, really in the moment and really just throwing myself into emptying that dishwasher.
Yes.
It's so relaxing.
And here, see if you relate to this. It's our it's the childhood we always wanted.
Mm.
It's being able to be wherever we are, knowing that we're safe because somebody bigger and wiser is watching out for us.
Mm. Mm. And it's fun.
It's fun.
It's really fun.
And it's fun even when all you're doing is unloading the dishwasher.
Mm.
God, I wish everybody could really get that.
Yeah, I remember someone talking about being at the monastery like that it's sort of like being at summer camp because you go from one activity to the next and you really have no control over it.
Mm-hmm.
But as a kid, you don't want control over it. You don't care about having control over it. You're just one minute you're swimming, the next minute you're doing, you know, you're painting.
Yes.
And you just throw yourself into every moment of it.
Yes. Because as children, we know that we can only be as happy as we can be. It's when we get to be adults that we think doing some specific thing is going to make me happier. And when you get it, that all of the happiness available to a human being is available to that being, unloading the dishwasher, let me tell you, you're in for some good times. Because what that translates into is that every moment is a blissful moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So,
right.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, I'm just so grateful.
Oh, me too. Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
You take care.
You
All
too.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
Wow.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Woo.
Great. I'm going to go get myself a dishwasher.
I'm telling you, I am lit up like the proverbial Christmas tree.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm going to go do my dishes. How about that?
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.